Up next is Naked Scientist Regular and Circuit Bender Extraordinaire, and that's Stuart Higgins. Stuart, what have you got there?
So, Chris, in my left hand, I have a silicon wafer. It's a kind of shiny blue colour. It looks very metallic, and it's very hard. And if I was to drop this, it would smash like glass.
It's a disc. It's, what, 4 or 5 centimetres across and thin, shiny. It's like a CD, really.
Yeah, it looks very similar to a CD. It's got the same kind of rainbow colours if you look at the surface of it. This is silicon. So if you think in terms of your phone and the chips inside your phone or your computer, this is what they're made on. This is this hard material. Now, that's great, but as I said, if I drop this, it's going to smash. It's not going to be so good. What if there was a way that we could make electronics using plastic with the benefits of plastic, but also the electrical benefits of silicon?
Why would you want to do that?
Has anyone ever dropped their smartphone? So if you drop something like a glass screen or you drop something that's a hard crystal substance like silicon, it's going to smash. It's going to shatter into lots of pieces. So I'm looking in my research at ways of taking new materials that are based on plastics that can also be semiconductors, can also be electrical in their nature. So we often think of plastics as insulators. That's why we make our plug sockets out of them. That's why we make our cables out of them, because we don't want the electricity to get through. But actually, it turns out that there are special kinds of plastics that can act as conductors. They can conduct electricity, and they also act as semiconductors. And a semiconductor is something that, in the right circumstances, turns into a conductor.
And that's what you've got here, is it?
Yeah, so in my right hand, I have this flexible piece of, well, it's a piece of plastic.
Okay, so this is about the same size as the wafer of silicon. I can see through it. It's completely transparent, thin piece of, looks like cling film, but a bit thicker. And it's got some coppery coloured stuff on it.
Yeah, so what we're looking at there is actually this gold. So if you look closely at the substrate, you see this kind of pattern of gold wiring, essentially. And all of these wires are connected together with little devices called transistors. And a transistor is a switch. It's like an electrical switch where you press it and turn it on, you turn it off. And it's the fundamental building block inside every microprocessor. So when your computer does calculations, it's transistors that are switching on and off.
How might we make that?
The benefits of plastics are that you can actually turn them into inks. So if you're doing something like silicon, you have to use very industrial processes, very hard material to work with. But if you've got a semiconductor that's also a plastic, you can dissolve it, you can turn it into an ink that could go into a printer, for example, an inkjet printer like we have at home. So one of the things we look at is ways of printing circuits on plastic. We send the design from the computer to the printer and it prints out the circuit on the piece of plastic. And in that way, we're looking at ways of building up layers and creating these kind of flexible circuits.
And what sorts of things could you make that do with that same technology? Because I know what my phone can do, but am I close to having a roll-up phone?
You're a little away from it yet, because the silicon technology is so far developed. It's had many, many years developed. The phone inside your pocket has a billion transistors in it. Incredibly complicated. This piece of plastic I have here has 120 transistors. We're still years and years behind. But one of the things we are looking at doing is incorporating it into other kinds of products. So in my particular research, I look at radio tags. And I'm interested in seeing whether we could make a flexible radio tag, a bit like your smart card or a security card when you swipe it on a door. And looking at ways we can make that onto a flexible substrate. And the reason for doing that is that if you can make things flexible and you can print circuits, and you can do that cheaply and easily, then you can think about putting circuits where you wouldn't normally find them. So, for example, maybe on packaging. So as you referred to earlier, imagine having a milk carton in your fridge that was talking to the fridge itself and could actually tell you when the milk is about to go off, or that you know by looking at your smartphone what's in your fridge when you're out shopping so you know what to buy next.
Be food for thought, wouldn't it?
Exactly. That's where the idea is, that if we can develop new materials and we can develop processes and ways of making these circuits that do that, then it opens up a huge new range of technologies.
It's an obvious question. Why are we not doing it now?
Well, the problem is that these plastics, while they're good, is they're not that good. They're still quite a lot worse than silicon. And in particular, the charges, the electricity going on inside the circuit is moving a lot slower than it would in terms of the silicon.
Now, I asked you for a bit of a demo to show us the speed of these things. What demo have you got lined up for us?
So I'm trying to illustrate here what happens if you've got a slow transistor, if you've got a slow switch that turns on and off. Now, in some ways, if you've got your smart card talking to the reader and it's kind of speaking very slowly, and you've got the reader speaking very fast in return and trying to get things very quickly, those two can't talk to each other. They can't understand each other. And in particular, if you've got transistors that can also be used as an amplifier, if that amplifier can't see all the frequencies, then you start to miss information. In this first clip, I'm going to play a spoken recording, and it's going to have all of the high frequencies cut out as if the transistor wasn't switching fast enough. And so we're going to listen to that and try and understand what's being said and see how difficult it is to hear what's happening. And then after that, I'm going to play the second clip with all the frequencies present so we can hear what it says.
Let's do it.
And sometimes I want to inject a very fine pair of saliva out of my mouth. Why are we evolved to be able to do this?
I am sometimes able to eject a very fine spray of saliva out of my mouth. Why are we evolved to be able to do this?
Right, so why do they sound differently intelligible between the two?
So in that first clip, we were hearing only the low frequencies. And actually, in order to gain all the information and for our brains to be able to interpret it all, we need to have at least some of the frequencies there. We need to have a higher range of frequencies possible. So in the second clip, when we can hear everything, it's much clearer.
Well, Stuart, it's been a pleasure having you to listen to. Thank you very much for telling us all about your plastic electronics. Stuart Higgins for Team Berro. You're listening to a special Cambridge Science Festival edition of The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Berro, and Chris Smith. This week we're joined by a live audience. And six of Cambridge University's brightest and best scientists. Now, so far we've heard from freeze-dried blood boffin Krishna Mabubani, teamwork guru Gabriella Pavarini, and the highly flexible physicist Stuart Higgins, who's making bendy electronics.
And still waiting to blind us with science, the plant scientist seeking to pimp his porridge by making cereals grow faster. That's Professor Howard Griffiths. Pimping my porridge. Now, there's a TV show, isn't there? Engineer Professor Hugh Hunt and superconducting physicist Dr. Suchitra Sebastian.
But before we hear from them,